Andor. Quite possibly the show of the year for me.
I'm hedging my bets a little bit with their latest Pluribus, because that's one of the most striking original new shows that I've come across.
Boom, Predator Killer of Killers came from nowhere, but it was amazing.
Hello and welcome to the Screen Time Christmas podcast. Tonight I'm joined by
Ho, ho,
Simon
ho, ho.
Crust
Jingle bells, jingle bells. I'm
and
not in
Mark
the sun
Stallo.
yet, but I will be
Yeah.
by the
Man
time you see
smells
this.
Robin flew away.
I'm just going to sing throughout this podcast. I mean, we could do the Buffy episode of the podcast, couldn't we? Yeah. Well, tonight we're going to look
Well,
at
it would
our top
like to
movies
say it
and
would
top
end up more
TV
like the Star
shows.
Trek Discovery episode, let's be honest. No, Strange New Worlds
I mean,
episode rather than the Buffy one.
I think it's already there. Top movies, top TV shows 2025 is the plan for today, if we can sing our way there. But I'm gonna
Is
say
it?
thank you
Okay.
for a year of excellent support from our supporters and for everything they've done. We've had a lot of supporters over the year, and they've won a lot of juicy prizes, and we're closing out the year with some fantastic sets to win, and even more that will be added. There's lots. I would like to think there aren't many supporters out there who haven't won something over the year. And if there are any supporters who have neglected to win anything over the course of the entirety of 2025, reach out and send me a direct message, please. Right. A year of TV recommendations. What are our favorite shows of this year?
TV.
Mark. Yeah, TV. We're going to do TV for, we're going to say movies for the end.
Which is ironic because famously, I hate all TV.
Oh, good
I
TV.
know, yeah. I know,
Well,
I know.
just, it's TV's not my jam. But
We can
anyway,
tell from your list. It's your
none
mum.
the usual. Nonetheless, I have watched some televisual delights this year, which I will
Oh.
now regale you with. So in no order, Dexter Resurrection. Huge Dexter fan. I did not like Original Sin, the prequel series. Did not like it at all. And when trailers started to dribble out for this that showed Dexter in New York, I just thought, oh no. Oh no. But lo, I was very pleasantly surprised. Of course, he miraculously survived the shooting at the end of the previous Michael C. Hall series, which you have to go with. You have to go with it. But otherwise, I thought Dexter Resurrection was a fantastic return to form. Michael C. Hall is just, he's mesmerizing in this. He's so charming yet so evil. It's just the perfect distillation of that, anachronistic, charming serial killer. And the introduction of Peter Dinklage and other serial killers this episode again could have degenerated into a episodic, generic, almost anthology type feel for it as Dexter's picks up with a different serial, all this kind of stuff, but it just didn't pan out like that. It was a great return to form. I had a huge amount of fun with Dexter Resurrection. So that gets into my top three slots because I was expecting the worst but got the best. So the next one I'm going to go for is Sandman season two. Think more than anything with Sandman, what I get from watching both series is it's the closest I get to the feeling of when I'm reading one of those doorstop fantasy novels. Your Lord of the Rings or your Magician from RE Feist or even Dune or anything like that. The sort of tactility of the world, the almost the inner monologues. Watching Sandman makes me think of that, and it's the closest that any sort of film or TV show has ever got to doing that. And I adore it for that. Plotting is supremely dense, but the character work is great. The world building is superb. The cast are great. The only issue I have is the same issue they had with season one, is they stick a rando episode right on the end after the main story arc's finished, and you just go, what? Why? What? Stop. Wait. But yeah, had a huge amount of fun with Sandman season two. I like the fact that its main story arcs this year were much more. I was going to say they were familial, but of course we're dealing with a race of, gods. So it managed to perfectly blend that sort of relatability with the extraordinary. So yeah, loved Sandman season two, and my sort of rogue pick then for my third slot is Mobland from Paramount Plus, which frankly gets in here solely on the strength of Pierce Brosnan and Helen Mirren just out accenting each other from start to finish.
I mean, it's got to also be a contender for one of those shows. I mean, I wrote it off after episode one.
Yeah.
I
Well,
was not
you thought it
sold
was
on
going to be,
episode one.
you just thought it was going to be
But
generic
yes.
Mobland crap.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't.
It
It
wasn't,
just
yeah. It
wasn't.
wasn't, yeah.
And again, I think it's because it was this, it was like Guy Ritchie had gone, all right, my shtick, I'm just going to stick this Bunsen burner on it until it distills all the way down to its
Yeah.
purest essence. And he threw it on screen. And it was like pantomime, but it was
Enjoyable
just
pantomime.
so fun with it. It wasn't po-faced, it wasn't serious. Of course it had all the violence and all the stuff like that, but it was so over the top and so overblown. And I will say now, when you cast the likes of Tom Hardy, of Brosnan, of Mirren, and they bring that little extra sauce that these stars have, it's just a joy to watch. And I had a great, it's one of the few TV shows where every week me and the missus were literally going, has it dropped yet? Has the next episode dropped yet? I've had a great time with Mobland. So yeah, it's that'll
Nice,
do me.
wonderful. You'll be glad to know I've
Yes.
seen exactly none of those.
Well, to be fair, with my recommendations on TV, Si, you're probably best not to.
What do
But
you
what have
got,
you seen,
Si?
Si?
What have I seen? I've
Yes.
seen loads. I've seen some good stuff, I think. I think it's good stuff. I like it, at least. So I've got a top three and a rogue one to throw in at the end. My first, again, this is no particular order. I've gone with Slow Horses, season five, because
Yeah,
it's
you stole it from my
great.
list.
I
And
know.
my
I
list.
know. Well,
We all had it.
as I said in November's podcast, we've had a lot of overlap with this because when something's good, we all kind of gravitate towards it. It's worth spending time with these people, and I had a fabulous time with Gary Oldman being a total loon, and stealing the show wherever he goes. And with that early story of to get out of the room and then it paying off at the end, it's just absolutely brilliant, and all the way through, and six episodes in and out. There's none of these 10 season long arcs going up and down and where do they go.
Yeah.
Very, very enjoyable, very enjoyable.
Totally
I
agree.
mean,
Totally agree.
the
Yes.
forums have been up and down on it, saying it's not as good, or it's going down here, or it's going up, looking forward to the next one. But if you look at the forums from every season, it's all been the same throughout since that first one, it's all the same. Oh, it's not so good as that one, but it is as good. It's
I
probably
mean,
the best.
I loved it, and I did find it the best, and I think a key to it was, was that story. It was a insight into Oldman, his character, which none of the other seasons had done as well. They all teased it, but it was like that's he dropped a big one there, and that was really quite special, and I appreciated that.
I did guffaw at the paint can, though. It
No,
almost lost me at the paint can.
that was a bit Superman 3
Almost.
beginning, wasn't it? Or
Yeah.
the plank or something like that.
Yeah.
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 And you forget
Yeah.
about the physics about, yeah, but in
It
the grand scheme
won me round.
of six
It won
episodes,
me
it
round.
was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Slow Horses, that was on was it Apple TV? That one. The next one, this was Prime, I believe, is Terminal List, Dark Wolf.
Ooh.
Which
That
was
is
an
good news.
unexpected win.
An unexpected win, yeah. I mean, I think I can't agree with you with your review there, Kaz. Having scanned through it yesterday when I was compiling this list, that it could have ditched the terminal list, but it didn't need that. It could have been quite happy to survive by itself because it was that good. You know, who would have thought it would have just it sort of come out of nowhere, and it was brilliant, hard hitting, and it kept the pace all the way through. And what a standoff at the end, you know, it was great.
It was
I
really good.
very
I
much
think
enjoyed it. Yeah.
it's such a shame that it's sort of hide into the lore of
Yeah.
the wider terminalist thing and has to have like Chris Pratt cameoing in
Yeah.
it. You really don't need him.
No.
You don't need him to sell this show.
No.
But yeah, that was an unexpected. That for me, that was like Mobland. I was prepared to. In fact, it was worse than Mobland because I thought Mobland was going to be great. It was like Tom Hardy, watched the first episode, wrote it off, reluctantly went back, found it great. Terminalist Dark Wolf, I just looked at the title and went, I ain't reviewing that. It took a lot of sort of inner patience to bring myself back to Terminalist Dark Wolf with
But no,
Chris Pratt
worth
in
it. Yeah.
support. But yes.
Yeah, worth the time and effort though. Very, very good. Very good. That's prime that one. And for my last official pick, how can you not go with a Disney Plus show, Andor? Quite possibly the show of the year for me. Just absolutely outstanding. A phenomenal follow-up to the first season. Built around three, it's nine episodes,
Yes,
sort
three
of
arcs, three sets of
three
three.
arcs, set in different times. And I mean, when it first started off, the first episode, you're thinking, this isn't as good. What's going on? It's not as good. And then suddenly it grabs you and it pulls you, and you think, oh my God, this is getting so good. And then the second one, then the third one, and it ends on such it's an incredible show. Absolutely incredible. Again, you can scrub off the Star Wars name, moniker. You don't need that. It can just live and die by itself. It is a phenomenal show. I loved
It
it.
was great, a great piece of TV
Yeah.
that did well with that. Did really well. That's Gilroy, isn't it? Yeah,
Yeah,
they
just
did really
brilliant.
well.
Just brilliant. And
Nice.
for my oddball, again, this one's not been reviewed on site, but I mean, you guys know I like a bit of Korean TV. This show's on Prime. It came out middle of the year, I think, about June-ish. It's a show called Good Boy, and it's about five Korean athletes, Olympic winners, different sports. One's a boxer, one's a short put, one's a archery, the other one's a fencer, the other guy's a wrestler, and they work together in a special unit set up by the police, breaking down crimes, and it's 10 episodes. It's funny, it's heartwarming, it's violent, it's tear jerking, it's got everything you want out of a show. And because it's Korean, it doesn't adhere to what you would think of Hollywood or normal TV standardized viewing. It just takes you, gets you, and it throws you over there, and then it brings you back, and it throws you over there, and it brings you back, and it throws you up in the air, jumps you
Nice.
down, then jumps on top of you, and then off you go again. It's
What an insane
brilliant.
pitch. What an
Oh,
insane
mate.
pitch.
It's absolutely glorious. I had a fabulous time with that one. There you
I
go.
do
No,
like my
that's.
Korean TV shows. That's a nice selection. I mean, I for mine, I nearly went entirely Apple. I had to force myself not to just pick three Apple shows. And this primarily because the obvious one for me would have been Severance season two, which is tremendous viewing. I just felt like I needed to not talk about Apple with every single release. But I will say, out of the ones I picked, I'm hedging my bets a little bit with their latest Pluribus, because that's one of the most striking original new shows that I've come across that's really grabbed me with a very familiar idea, but done a completely different spin on it to what I expected. And it's tremendous viewing. And I hope it doesn't let me down because we're only like four episodes in. Absolute Must watch TV that. The next one is a cheeky inclusion. It's Landman, because Landman season one was end of
Tempting.
last year, but Landman season two, which I haven't reviewed yet, has just started.
Just started, yeah.
And yeah, and it includes Sam Elliott. So I mean, that's obviously going to make everyone's top three list. But I mean, it's just handmade for Billy Bob Thornton. I think he did an interview and he talked about it and he went, yeah, it's just me if I was involved in the oil business, which was you can almost
Yeah, you can
believe.
see that. You can see
Yeah.
that. Yeah, because it was a tremendous ending of the first series, wasn't it?
Yeah, it
With old
was.
Andy
Yeah.
Garcia
Andy
bopping his head in.
Garcia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he's back. He's like a he's been upgraded to season regular. Not that I've seen
Right.
him yet in season two, along with Demi Moore. Along with Sam Elliott. I mean, it's a great
Wow.
cast, but you do really just watch it because you want Billy Bob Thornton to have a rant.
Just to,
And
row with
you
people.
know, you do. You want him to like shut you down on some expectation about green fuels or electric energy or something, and him just go, yeah, but you
Yeah.
know. But yeah, he it's great. Great viewing. My last one was The Studio, which I don't think I expected to love. This is Seth Rogen. But he managed to make a show which is both a love letter to Hollywood and an insane farce of epic proportions about all that could go wrong in Hollywood. Every episode is a different kind of theme. There's a noir one, there's a War of the Roses one. And if you love movies, like clearly he does, is real deep cuts across them. Is very, very, very nicely put together, and also insightful into this massive movie fan, movie buff who gets control of a studio and then is tasked with making really horrifically generic movies about, I think, like serial characters, like breakfast cereal characters brought to life, you know, rather than the sort of indie flicks that he grew up wanting to champion. I loved it. It's great. And I appreciate that Severance should be in here, which so that's my bonus one. But as I say, too much Apple, which has been my go-to platform. I think for a platform which prefers quality over quantity, they've got a fair quantity of decent shows to watch. The John Hamm
I
one,
felt
Friends and Neighbours, the Owen Wilson one, Stick. I mean, yeah, they do some great shows.
Shrinking.
Shrinking. Oh my Lord, I've just got the screener access to the next year's season of Shrinking.
Ah,
That
you.
is my Christmas sorted. It's the best acting Harrison Ford has
Yeah.
had in his entire career, and it's just phenomenal.
It is a great show.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Some movies.
Movies, movies.
Favorite movies. Go on, Simon. What are your
Me,
favorite
me.
movies? Yeah,
What are my
and I
favorite movies?
fudged one of yours just because
Yeah, I
this.
know. For whatever reason, I kind of struggled with this list because I haven't been to the cinema this year. So my movies are based on stuff that's come has been released in theaters and then come to streaming or is direct to streaming alone. And I could have, I mean, I'll say my three. Outside picks first, because although they've been recorded, reviewed. Sorry, both they've been reviewed. We're not actually going to talk about them. Which was Companion, Novocaine, and Accountant 2. All great films, and all of which I had great fun with. Because you know why not? They're available, and I had fun with them. So there we go. Yes. So again, these my picks aren't in any particular order. The first one I'm going to go with is Civil War, because I very much enjoyed it. A war film that isn't a war film. Just great. It's realized on every level. Yeah, everything works about it. I just really, really enjoyed it.
Does such a good job being politically
Being being
apolitical.
apolitical,
Yeah.
telling a story, but being slightly different about it. It was just very, very clever. Very clever storytelling, and gripping throughout, without actually being over and above and over the top. Maybe that scene in the middle when The guy with the glasses, I forget his name now, and they
Jesse Plemons.
that's it, thank you.
Yep.
Tense. Brilliant.
Yes.
So that was
Definitely.
I'll go with not top pick, but the first pick of the evening. And to counterbalance that is the same director Garland's Warfare is my second one. So again, telling a war story again from a very different perspective. Now this I wouldn't say I enjoyed this quite as much because this is really quite harrowing viewing. Telling a war story from the perspective of the guys actually doing it, and it's unlike any war film you've ever seen, or certainly I've ever seen. And the mistakes that are made, that these guys, as highly trained as they are, do make mistakes, and they can suffer tremendously when things don't go quite right. And things don't go quite right for these poor sods. And it's quite difficult to watch. When these guys get hurt, they really get hurt, and you see him really get hurt. It's interesting because it kind of makes you question war films in general, because you see this bravado of people doing this, that, and the other. Every shot they take always hits. I kind of hate watched that David Boreanaz film, that SEAL Team. And when you compare those two, that this film and that, which is, the about SEAL supposedly doing the same thing. One is obviously total fantasy, absolutely ridiculous, enjoyable watch. But when you get to see Warfare, and you think, my God, that is what it's really like. So yeah, I picked that one because it was very, very different viewing, quite hard watching.
It's very hard watch.
Have you seen that one, Mark?
I have not seen Civil War.
No.
Haven't seen Warfare yet. I'm,
Yeah, it's
it,
worth it. It's a different.
I need to. I
Yeah,
need to.
you do need to. And the last one on my list is The Order, which again, it's kind of a very different way of looking at things. Jude Law trying to live out his life quite peacefully and having to take on the Ku Klux
White
Klan,
supremacists,
the white supremacists, in a and again, a slightly different take on what is a fairly ordinary mundane story that's been done before, 1,000 times before, but neatly done, stylistic. And it takes you to places that you don't really want to go. Yeah, it was. I again, I had a good time with it. Yeah, that one's prime as well, I believe.
Well, yeah, I think they all three are prime. I'm getting a pattern here. I was very interested in your bonus pick, though. I know we didn't cover it, but I was very interested in your bonus pick, and I feel like we should have covered it. I read the title 3 times before I clocked, and then
Before you
felt a
find out what
bit
it was.
sad that we hadn't. I did recognize the title, but I was like, where do I
Should
recognize
we?
that from? And
Yeah, again,
yeah.
this was on Prime. This is the John Candy story, I Like Me, which is heartbreaking. He's genuinely emotive viewing. What a lovely, lovely man. And he did so much in such a short amount of time. Helping people, putting money back into his country, putting money into people, giving his time. What a fantastic guy. Just truly brilliant. And he's left behind a legacy of mostly good films. When it to the later part of his career, when he was essentially helping people out, these mates that he'd made throughout the film industry were getting on and saying, "Oh, do us a favor, can you just come and big up our film and just do a little bit part?" And sadly, he's kind of what he's remembered for. But when you look at some of his early stuff, Splash and Uncle Buck and things like that, they were just phenomenal films, way ahead of their time. And the guy is a genius. He was, and it's such a sad film to watch, but equally, it makes you want to go and watch all the John Candy films you can, because it's great viewing. Great viewing. And I know you've watched that one, Mark.
Have it that the last hour of that felt like the last 5 minutes of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, we said it, I think we said it last year, and it's carried on into this year. Documentaries have really gained a new lease of life on the streaming platforms.
Yeah, you did the Charlie Sheen one, didn't you?
The Charlie Sheen one this year. I mean, my favorite one, which we didn't cover, was the Titan submarine disaster. There's a fantastic documentary on Netflix about that. That's and it's everything that a good non-fiction film is. You know, it's terrifying, it's funny, it's heart stopping, it's all this stuff. Then I don't know why it never occurred to me to put documentaries in my list of favorite films, and I need to sort that out, because there are an awful lot of really good ones out
Really, really
there.
good ones. Yeah.
So yeah, totally agree. Yeah, Like Me one was really good. Like I said, the Charlie Sheen one was good for some very different reasons, shall we say. He's not quite as cuddly or as cute.
No.
Yeah, but again, the subjects don't have to be. The documentary itself was great. Anyway, so I'll give you my three then.
Yes, please.
I'm going to revert to type, just because I can. And my favorite film of the year was Sinners by a mile. It was one of the films, and it doesn't happen very often, when you walk out of the cinema and you just stop yourself and go, I think I've just seen something quite special. Not, oh, I like that bit. Oh, I like that bit. I thought that was good. You just go, no, that was quite special. And the on the face of it, the From Dusk Till Dawn type comparisons, the oh well, it's just like, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't do justice to what Ryan Coogler was able to do with this. I've seen a lot of people mock the midpoint
Oh,
musical
that's
set
tremendous. The
piece,
musical set piece is just,
which to
it's
me was like one of the most
visionary.
incredible things I've ever seen. Interweaving music through time, past,
Through
present,
time,
future, in a way that felt right. But yet there was subtlety and nuance in some of the story. Like, a lot of people I saw were criticizing the fact that, the final coda, if you like, was Michael B. Jordan getting his own back on the Ku Klux Klan members. But I think what that showed was a real sort of comparison between Michael B. Jordan's and the vampires. Both are people trying to find their own way and do what needs to be done to survive. One's okay because one's battling racists. One's not okay because they're a vampire. And it was just real subtle, layered little things in the story, which for me just elevated the whole thing. And Hayley Steinfeld in this was sort of on exceptional. Well, the whole thing, top to bottom, was just
Yeah,
chef's kiss, no notes, best
absolutely.
film of the year.
Hence why I stuck it in my 4K list.
That you did, for which you were very right to, Sam. But I'll tell you what, I mean, that surprised me. But what surprised me possibly more was my second pick, which was Bring Her Back, the follow-up feature by the Philippou brothers, who did Talk to Me a couple of years ago. Well, these guys are they're YouTube
They're
anarchists. They
nuts.
do bananas skateboard videos of people hitting themselves in the nuts on YouTube. That's who they are. And I love Talk to Me because I thought it had a real modern vibe to it. It took a sort of gothic possession story, but brought it right back to now with the verisimilitude of those teens acting like teens getting caught up. So I thought it was amazing. But Bring Her Back was something completely different. I mean, what's refreshing in sort of two ways is the title brilliantly is the entire reveal of the film.
Absolutely,
And
yeah, it's
they
brilliant.
don't care. This isn't a horror film where it's, oh, there's a mystery. I wonder what the mystery's all about. Philippou Brothers go, no, do you know what? You guys are too smart for this. You'll spot it a mile off. So we're not even gonna hide, we're gonna hide it in plain sight. There you go, bring her back. There you go. So they tell us what it's about. But it's the way
The
they
way they
bring
get there.
a real, there's a heartbreaking sense of pain and loss all the way through it on multiple levels, And I mean, I came out of it sort of emotionally drained, but there is a gore scene in it. There's a small child sat in a kitchen with a kitchen knife. And
Oh man.
it's making my guts churn just thinking about it. And so there's plenty of that kind of stuff in there, but the film never loses that sense of there's something sad here. And it pins that sadness on something that's very real, very human, broken families, foster care, all that kind of stuff. And it was, like I said, at the end of it, I didn't think, as the credits rolled, that I would be so emotionally drained by what is basically a possession horror story. And by God, I needed to sit down after the end of that. So it was great stuff. Absolutely great stuff. If you haven't seen Bring It Back, go see it. It's brilliant.
I would concur. It's brilliant.
It was
Absolutely brilliant.
excellent.
Heartbreaking.
Okay,
Also,
I'll
I'm
watch it.
glad.
I'll watch it. You're
Watch it.
sold.
Don't
Not
watch
with
it,
the kids, though.
Gaz.
Don't.
It's funny that. But my third choice, I went for a cheeky double bill because it looks like Van Trachtenberg has had a hell of a year.
Oh, he has.
We were all gearing ourselves up for this new live action, which might be a Prey sequel, we don't know, when all of a sudden, midway through the year, boom, animated Predator film just dropped on Netflix, or Disney Plus, sorry, with barely a kiss me ass. And it was fabulous.
It
It
was amazing.
was a triptych of schoolboy fantasy. Oh, what if a predator fought a Viking? Oh, wouldn't that be great? Oh, yeah, but you know what would be better if a Viking fought a ninja? Oh, no, what if a Viking fought two ninjas? Oh, well, that'd be great. But you know what would be even better is if a predator fought a World War II plane while it was on top of another plane. And boom, Predator Killer of Killers came from nowhere, but it was amazing. It was
Yeah,
absolutely
it was
amazing. And I
amazing.
don't know whether or not, I mean, I don't know if it was the expectations that, we didn't have any expectations for it or anything, but it landed brilliantly. And then we started to see the trailers for what turned out to be Predator Badlands. And everyone was writing it off before they started. Oh my God, it's a PG-13 Predator film. Oh my God, they've killed my childhood yet again, Disney. Oh, and then I watched it. And yes, Predator Badlands is not a Predator film from 1987. What it is a bloody good science fiction romp. It's literally Enemy Mine if one of them was a predator and one of them was half a robot played by Elle Fanning. And do you know what? It is a huge amount of fun. Huge amount of fun. It's the most violent film I've seen all year. There's violence in it like you would not believe, but it's still a 12A rating, I think. Because there's no red blood in it. It's all green blood or synth blood. And honestly, there's so much blood spill, it's unbelievable. But I had a whale of a time with Badlands. And when the year ends with two Predator films, completely different, doing completely different things, but of equally high quality, I was just staggered by that. I mean, granted, Alien Romulus last year was a massive disappointment for me, and I had high hopes for that. So whether or not I had adjusted my expectations this year for these films, and maybe that's the way, maybe that's what I need to do with all films,
Oh, I don't know.
expect the result to be terrible.
I don't know
But no.
if there was anything in the Alien universe that was like Killer of Killers, that I think that you would call that out. The
I hope
fact
so.
is that Killer of Killers is just epic. Is
It
everything you
was
could have possibly
fantastic.
wanted. I mean, you make it sound like a joke that it's like a predator fighting a ninja or a World War II plane or whatever, but they did it. They did it. They nailed it. And
It
they
was
actually made it
absolutely
all
epic.
kind of tie in and made the universe cohesive. I
Yeah.
mean, I love it. I love what he's done with it. And I can see completely why he had to do it as animated, even though it'll make you watch it and go, damn, if they didn't show them the money to be
Yeah.
able to do some of that live action. I mean,
Yeah, it
yeah.
was awesome. But what a year. Predator's back, baby. And it's all thanks to
Yeah.
Mr. Trachtenberg. So frankly, you know what? Give him Alien versus Predator. Give him. Bailey, give him the
Yeah.
lot. As far as I'm concerned, he's earned his stripes. He can have every, give him Star Wars while he's at it. Although let him pop out a Star Trek first on the way. Just whatever. Give him anything. No, give him everything. He's had a stellar
That's
year. But
never
Brilliant
gonna go
Brills.
wrong, is it? That's never gonna go wrong. Give him
Well, who cares?
everything.
Yeah, James Gunn.
Yeah, that's what
I
happened with J.J.
mean,
Abrams, and look how that ended.
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so
Come on, Mr. Harlan, bring
I
us
mean
home.
I'm leaning into type completely here. I mean, I don't think I walked into F1 expecting to Brad Pitt to capture that Maverick feeling for me, and it did. I really enjoyed it. I really, even without Cruise doing a modern Days of Thunder, which may come too late now, Kaczynski and Pitt really did Maverick it on the ground, and they did it in the best way you could do, because it doesn't have the benefit of enemy fighters and missiles being fired and stuff like that, but they still managed to make a really visceral, thrilling, in cutting edge cinematography wise journey. I had an absolute blast, and it comes full circle to this notion of sort of cinema as epic spectacle, which could be kind of dying out, but that was definitely for me proper epic spectacle in all the right way. VFX used in a way that make you feel like that's some real cinematography, and that's VFX being used lovingly, not just everything's going to be, done by AI and we won't know what's real. This is a little bit more on the ground, and I appreciated that. My second
Yeah,
choice is,
just before you move on,
oh,
Kaz, it's
sorry.
brilliant. It's almost painting by numbers, but it's genius in doing it. It's come up with a Rembrandt. It's just magnificent filmmaking. Everything about it you've seen before, but it gets you all the way through. It's complete fantasy, absolutely ridiculous, but
I mean, it
you
is
love it. I mean,
ridiculous,
I've
isn't
watched it two or three
it?
times on the 4K disc, which is could have been on our list, really, the 4K demo
Oh, I
disc.
didn't
It's
want to put it on the list in case everybody just complained about it.
nah, it's well worth it. That could have made this. We should have mentioned it back
Yeah,
in
it is.
November.
It's
When was that? 5 minutes ago.
absolute, absolute, absolute demo disc. But no, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I agree with the formula. It is a formula,
Yeah.
but it's also kind of unusual. It reminded me of, I don't know, something like Color of Money. It's an unusual formula to have thrown into this landscape. The
Yeah, I get
Maverick
that. I get that.
mold of an old sort of mentor figure to a younger generation. And exactly like Maverick, no matter who they inject into the younger role, you're rooting for the old guy. And it's really nice, just like back in the day, you're rooting for Paul Newman more than Cruise, ironically, back in Color of Money. But yes, I really do enjoy that. My other one's next one's a left field choice is K-pop Demon Hunters.
Great film.
Now look, I couldn't sell my 12-year-old daughter on this until we started watching it, and then we must have watched it like three, four times. Got the soundtrack. She's got a
Soundtrack is
T-shirt.
awesome.
It is all kinds of awesome. But I will say that it did bring me that. Back to the Buffy musical episode. It did bring me that Buffy musical episode vibe because, like a lot of musicals, they managed to find a way of furthering the narrative in these mu mu in the musical interludes and really giving it some emotional heft. Every single one of the songs means something for these characters. And so it's not just, oh, they're going to sing again, roll my eyes, pick up my phone. Also, the imagination behind the animation is kind of Spider-Verse levels. They see some girls, sorry, they see some guys that they fancy, and they all turn into like really funny looking, bloated, cartoony characters with massive bulging eyes for that moment. It's like the animation style completely changes. The same when they're having a party on a plane and eating far too much food. It's like the style changes depending on what the scene is. And there's also a fantastic blue tiger thing that floats around and drifts into the floor and keeps knocking over the same flower pot. I don't think he's in any of the images we're showing up, but I want to get a fluffy toy version of him. He was all kinds of great. Doesn't say a word, just perpetually knocks over a flower
There he
pot.
is. There he is
And
now. For those of you
there,
watching at
that's
home, he's in the top left now.
he is dopey
sorry,
as
to
all
our.
hell.
What is that? What's that side?
I have no idea. It's over there. But anyway, he carries messages on his tongue. He doesn't say anything. And he floats in and out of the floor. I mean, other than that, but he's great. Great with flower pots. So that's my left field pick. And I'm going to round out, I mean, our entire list with kind of a sad note, really, for me, because it's Mission Impossible: Final Reckoning, which is not only the last Mission Impossible movie, but kind of feels like maybe one of the last ever of the old star-led, practical stunt-driven efforts. I mean, in a way, it feels like we're heading away from that. Feels like cinema's changed a little bit. Maybe we'll get a sequel to F1. Maybe we'll get some of these things out there. But yeah, it was kind of a sobering moment. I know it's not the greatest of all of the Mission Impossibles. I know that they could have finished a couple of films back on a absolutely perfect fallout note, but it was still great viewing. And as a saga, I can't think of many franchises that have been as consistently big screen entertaining as the Mission Impossible movies. And it'd be interesting to see what Cruise post Oscar will do next. But yeah, it's an interesting year 25 for movies. That's
Bit of bad year for most movies.
Box
It,
office
so
returns. Yeah,
certainly
it's been
box office
awful.
returns. But I think what's interesting there is you say that on the one hand, Final Reckoning feels like an ending. But yet you've got F1, which feels like a kind of evolution. And maybe that's where we'll start to go. You know, there is going to be more CG and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, F1 made a lot of money when no one expected it to. I mean,
Yes.
everyone said, well, I'm going to wait and watch it at home when it drops on Apple TV. And yet everyone just ran out to the cinema and watched it.
Did you?
I think there's going to be some interesting changes around blockbusters, obviously, after the year where every superhero movie failed to one degree or another. You know, and even though we're getting Doomsday next year, I don't think anyone's ever expecting it to return to the heyday of the genre. So yeah, it's but then again, look at the pick that we've got there. You know,
We've got a lot
arguably
of
there's
smaller titles and left field
that's
titles in there, yeah.
and I think that's what's good about it. We've just got to find a way, say we, you know, cinema has got to find a way to get people to go to the cinema for these kind of films. Because for whatever reason, one thing or another, they haven't been showing up
I
and they
don't know
need
whether
to.
they I know, but I don't know whether that's how it's going to work. I don't know whether you can return to that because it's, size three picks. I saw all of them on Amazon. I think all of them on Amazon. I knew they were coming to Amazon. I wanted to see them. Yes, I love Alex Garland, but no, I was happy to do that. I think Civil War was back in the day. Tom went to the cinema to
Tom did
see
it,
that.
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
Remember that?
I
Hi, Tom.
would.
Do you still watch us?
Probably not. I would have probably watched Sinners at the cinema. I don't know. And K-Pop Demon Hunters, definitely Netflix.
No.
Although I'd be very surprised if the sequel, after the blockbuster success of this and the K-pop sort of K market, let's call it, in the West, whether that will push it to go to cinema release, the second one. And F1, F2, I don't know what we're going to call it. Can't call it F2. Sorry, guys.
No, because there is an
But
F2,
yeah, exactly. Although keep going, there's an F3. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what these. I don't think we can shove them back in cinemas and have people go and see them, though. I don't know what the answer is for what people are
It's
going to
tricky.
see. It really is. But it's
Anyway,
a nice to
a
see this
discussion
kind
for
of
another day.
list. Yes,
Yes.
let's save it for the new year and see what happens
I mean,
then.
ultimately, ignoring box office, I had quite a good year this year with the films that came out, even those that, you know, were derided as box office bombs. You know, arguably, I think the MCU had a bit of a slight return to form. I like Thunderbolts. I
Yes,
like
Fantastic
Fantastic
Four.
Four.
Yeah, I did.
You know,
Yeah,
I like the
I
second
agree.
half of Superman. You know, so I had a good time this year with a lot of the stuff I saw in cinema. And it was a good year for horror, so it's good for me.
Absolutely.
Another good year for horror. Looks like horror's beating all the box office trends. So yay for that. Go horror.
Well, it's because they make it cheap.
It always
Exactly.
does. Horror
They
always
make it
does.
cheap and it
But
sells well.
yeah, it's always the way it works. But that's the conclusion we came to last time.
It
We
is,
do
yeah.
enjoy these films. They're just going to make them for less money.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the amount some of the films that we talk about as box office flops have made, it's ridiculous. I
It's a
mean, I think
GDP
they
for the country.
were, yeah, we talked about this with Tron Ares. Tron Ares followed quite a similar pattern of box office receipts to F1. But F1 was deemed a massive success because traditionally Apple movies released theatrically don't have that kind of popularity. And so they even re-released F1 into the cinemas, into IMAX, I think, to get more money out of it, and they milked it, and it's been a modest success, I would say. But the Tron Ares pattern, it was expected to do absolute gangbusters, and so after not a fantastic opening weekend, they just sentenced that to death. And it's interesting because not a fantastic opening weekend is still like 65 million. I mean, they need to really rethink this model. The same goes for Final Reckoning. There's more forgiveness there because they went out with a bang, and everyone knows it'll have sort of legacy revenue in all of the box sets, all of the 4K discs, all of the re-releases of the sets, all of that. I get it. But even so, stop making them for so much money. And then you don't have a Fantastic Four flopping for whatever it was, half a billion? Didn't it do that
Fantastic Four
more?
flopping. Ooh, don't
Yeah.
want that.
Very
No,
nice.
let's not end the year on a sour note. I had a good year. There's some very good movies coming out this year,
Absolutely.
and
And we've had a laugh, haven't we, chaps? We've had a good year.
well, I've
Well,
tolerated your buffoonery. Yes, it's been a good ass year. Very good.
It has.
Well,
Well,
happy
well,
New
well.
Year to
Happy
everybody
New
back
Year.
home.
Yes. Merry Christmas.
Yes,
Sadly,
and
I won't be coming to you from Australia this year because we are recording this a little bit early.
a little bit, yeah,
A
a
little,
couple of
just
days
a tad,
early.
just a few
But
days
we
early. It's
will
all I need.
July be back in January with all our best, I don't know, most anticipated. Oh, we should do the
Most
most
anticipated.
anticipated. Let's
Yeah,
do
we ought to
that.
do that. Yeah, we have to
Most
do that.
anticipated Steven Seagal movies of the year.
Yeah, we need a roundup of how our most anticipated went this year from last year.
Yeah, I know. I
Yeah,
know. That's
nasty.
too
That'll be
much
fun.
effort. Let's just eat Christmas food instead.
Sounds good.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in the new year.
Bye.
Cheers all.
Very nice.
Hooray. Hooray.
Oh, God. Well, not bad timing-wise.
No.
Job done.
Not
Not that.
bad.
Well,
That's
that's two of
two
them.
in an hour and 37 minutes.
Hey, at this rate in January, why don't we do all 12 in January? Stuff this
Oh, God,
back on a monthly
don't
basis.
even.
Let's just do
Don't
that.
even.